Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here's Bob Bertog, who joins us most of the warm months, but those are right around the corner. How are you, Bob? Welcome back.
Hi, John. Good. How are you?
Pretty good. What do you say generally now?
Open the shed and get the tools out.
Woohoo! Does that include the agrochemicals? Can I put my weed killer down?
Yeah. Well, I measured the soil temperature this morning, actually, and it's in the mid-40s. So, you're getting to that point where things are going to start germinating, including crabgrass. So if you could hold off one more week on the pre-emergent, that would be great. But you can start getting down your regular fertilizer and start your seeding. The only thing I wouldn't recommend is, I was by Jewel and I saw annual flowers there. It's a little early for that. Maybe you can put out like pansies or ones that will survive in the cold, but I wouldn't be putting in your begonias or impatiens or anything just yet.
Yeah. I was pulling some weeds and doing some edging over the weekend, and that white, brown, dead, weedy, grassy thing, is that crabgrass that I got crawling all around my yard? It's got these long arms that kind of whip through everything and grow. What is that, Bob?
It's probably crabgrass. It's either crabgrass or it's annual bluegrass.
Yeah.
Oh, annual. It's a golf course's nemesis. It's just, the stuff is just a highly prolific seeder, grows fast, and if it's dead, and so it shows no sign of life because it is only an annual grass.
Yeah.
So it dies at the first frost. So that's, you're more than likely looking at that or the old crabgrass.
Okay, so I pull that out then, but you said the seeds are, though, in the ground now, so it's going to put a new batch of that coming through. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so now is the time to put that pre-emergent weed killer. Is that what you call that?
Yes, pre-emergent crabgrass control. And the only thing is now, if you have these big bare patches and you want to seed them, that pre-emergent will keep your good seed from germinating as well.
Well, how long do I have to wait?
Well, I'm from the school of do the seeding in the spring, and then right when you start to see the crabgrass come up, like in June, mid-June, then you just hit it with a post-emergent.
Oh, okay. So you,
that way I do want to let the strong grass come in.
Yeah, because I've got so much space here with that dead stuff. I'd wipe my lawn out for half the year. So you said just rake that stuff up, get some dirt going there, put some grass seed down. Now, those bad boys are going to come in, though, eventually, but then just use a post-emergent weed killer.
Right, because of the seed, if you put it down now, it'll have enough time.
Yeah.
You'll have all of April and May where before the crabgrass will really start. You'll see the tillers of it down low, and then you'll be able to just hit it with a post-emergent.
I got bags of dirt, too. Dirt's dirt, right? Potting soil or soil you spread around your garden or lawn, that doesn't go bad, does it, Bob?
No, it should be fine.
You did say the chemicals, though, go bad, right?
That's correct. They do have a shelf life. And fertilizers will start to degrade, and same thing. If any of your chemicals, if you had them in the garage and they froze, odds are good that they're no good.
If I put grass seed down now, I guess I can put the first course of fertilizer down now as well. Is that true?
Yeah, you could put down a starter fertilizer for the grass seed, and the analysis changes every year because of the EPA for most of the reasons, because they're telling you how much potash and stuff can be in the soil or in the fertilizer. So just go to your local garden center and read the label.
Is there a number I should be looking at? There's usually three numbers there for this first course of fertilizer I'm going to put on the new grass seed or the existing lawn. What's the big number I should notice?
The first number is the nitrogen, and I wouldn't put anything higher than a 14 with the nitrogen. Because it's going to stimulate too much where the plant won't be able to take up that much fertilizer or that much nitrogen.
Less than 14 on the nitrogen for now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Lots of phone calls for you, Bob. 312-981-7200. What do you need to know? 312-981-7200. Bob Bertog from Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling will take your calls. John, please ask Bob, can I use sand to level divots in my lawn?
You can, but I would recommend mixing it in with some topsoil. The sand will help break up any clay or anything that's in the soil, and it is easy to level, but I wouldn't just use regular sand because that'll eventually just wash out.
And your advice a couple of weeks ago was you don't have to worry too much about filling in the divots per se. That is, go ahead and rake it in, but eventually between the rain and the wind and the wear, the dirt will find the divots, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, because I've got the same thing. I thought, do I got to go around with a little scoop, or do I need to tear the whole thing up, rake it again? You wouldn't do either of those. You just kind of generally apply the dirt. Is that right?
Yeah, just a nice top dressing, and then, as you said, now that the lawns are all coming out of dormancy, the grass is going to get longer, so you're walking on a softer, cushiony type of the blades of grass, so you're not going to notice it as much.
Hey, Bob, can you aerate now?
You can. The best time to aerate is in the fall. The second best time is the spring.
So now? I mean, I don't know if this is springy enough, but actually, I was walking by somewhere today, and there was a bunch of holes punched in the grass as I was walking along. You don't mind that, do you?
No, actually, you want to leave the plugs there. That goes back to your point that the soil will eventually find the low spots. Well, just you leave those plugs, and as they break down, they'll fill in some of those voids.
312-981-7200. Robin, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Bob, I have a question for you. When working with your various clients, do you ever recommend to them if they've got a space that they can let go native and put in some of those native grasses and native bloomers that would help those insects even more and allow bees, butterflies, and everything else to be around for people to enjoy, but more importantly, to pollinate all of our products, our food products that need that interaction?
Yes, actually, we've designed and developed several butterfly gardens, and they're beautiful.
Okay,
so
great.
It is a common thing.
Let me ask both of you this. I planted some butterfly-friendly plants in my yard last year. Is there a recommendation, Robin or Bob? Do you know what I should be putting in if I want to be a good steward for butterflies?
Yes. There's a lot of great lists that you can get a hold of, John. There are several put out for, like, Illinois native wildflowers, and they will give some descriptions. There's actually a couple of nursery companies that do catalog and phone call orders that will also tell you what kinds of things are good for what butterflies. But one of the biggest things is that you need bloomers for every season. And the other thing you need to evaluate is what kind of soil you have and how much sunlight you have.
Yeah.
So there are some pretty common ones if you have sunny spots, other than milkweed, which is the most important, because for monarch butterflies, that's the only plant that they will lay their eggs on, because that's the only plant that mm-hmm. the caterpillars can survive on.
Is that
on
milkweed that the monarchs like?
Yes, and there's the common milkweed we see in, you know, that you used to see in side ditches and along fields, but farmers have tried to curb that. But there are also several other kinds of milkweed that don't grow so leggy. There's one called butterfly weed, which is a bright orange, and it's always gorgeous.
Huh. I'm glad you called, Robin.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to get more calls.
I learned a lot as well. Thank you, Robin.
Lisa, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Lisa?
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Bob. So I have a question for you. We're trying to thicken up our lawn, so we want to plant some grass seed and we want to fertilize. Everybody has a difference of opinion. Fertilize first, seed first. Which do you prefer, Bob, and how do I go about it quickly?
There's nothing to say you can't do them both at the same time.
Really? I mean, just but the same day, one comes down, the other goes down, and off you go.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. Never heard that one before. So do you have a recommendation on what kind of product to use?
It depends if it's sunny or shady, if you have clay soil or sandy soil. So,
right. Okay.
That'll depend on the type
but
of seed you want to get.
Isn't there a kind of thing there's a word or phrase you do or don't want to see on there. What is that, Bob, on the grass seed?
The origin. If it says origin unknown, you have no idea where that grass seed is coming from.
Right. So origin unknown, that was it. So if it's origin unknown, we don't know where it came from, don't put it down. Make sure that it's 100%. Hey, it says here, I left grass seed in the shed all winter. Is the seed okay if it froze out there?
If the seed does have a shelf life, but generally you can get two seasons, after that, the germination rate's going to drop significantly.
What's the best way to overseed the lawn?
the most important thing of overseeding is to scuff up the area where the roots are going to have something to grab onto. If you just throw seed down in the bare spots, nothing's going to happen. And you scuff it up so you can get it into the root zone, then you put a little top dressing mix on it, put the seed on and rake it into the seed bed, and it's very important to water it. And the other thing to remember with grass seed, more is not better. If you put too much seed down and they all start to germinate, they'll start to choke each other out.
That's what happened to me. Hey, John, please ask Bob, what do you do with grass that burned from dog poop being on the lawn for too long over the winter?
Same thing. You're going to just do the top dressing and seeding of the areas. I mix up what I call a divot mix. And, you know, if anybody that golfs knows, that thing on the cart is the little jar that has the bluegrass and sand and mixed in the jug, and I just keep a bucket of that on hand for the dogs.
It's the urine that burns the holes in it. Dorothy, what can we do for you? You're on WGN with Bob Bertog.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I had a question. I have two beautiful clematis that I've had in the ground 5-6 years maybe, and I have never trimmed them back nor done anything to them, and they look great, but I read an article recently that said you're supposed to trim them back.
You're supposed to thin them out. You want to take some of the older, thickest canes out and allow for the new shoots to come in.
Okay.
As far as trimming it back for height, that's a personal preference if you want to trim them down. But you want to cut some of the older canes out down at the base of the plant. You got to be really careful, though, because as clematis grows, everything tangles together. So you have to cut it out in sections sometimes. It's just it's a tedious job, but it does need to be done every couple of years.
And it's too bad because
how many inches up from the ground do I start?
Yeah.
You know, 6, 8, 12 inches. It depends on the thickness of the cane. Nobody's looking at the bottom of a clematis anyway. They're all pretty at the top, not at the bottom.
Yeah, but I think it's funny because I would imagine the older canes are the ones that have produced the most flowers. You hate to cut those off, but you got to do that, huh?
Yeah, but with age, too, if you watch, the flowers on those older canes are getting higher and higher on the plant. So you want to let some new shoots come in from the base.
Dorothy, good luck to you. Appreciate the call. How about, let's try Daisy. You're on WGN. Daisy, how can we help you? You're on the air.
Hi. I normally use Preen in my flower beds. Can I use Preen on the lawn to stop or prevent weeds?
I've never heard of doing that, and Preen is more for broadleaf weeds, not for, like, crabgrass. It is very effective in the gardens and in planting beds. I've never heard of using it on grass, but you can check the read the label.
Maybe it says that. Speaking of Preen, I don't even know what Preen is, but here's another question about that. What is Preen, Bob?
Preen is a pre-emergent weed control, mostly for broadleaf weeds, and you put it in your gardens. So, obviously, you're not out there on your hands and knees every weekend pulling weeds.
Well, I've got a smorgasbord of thing out there, so I guess I should get something that kills the most kinds of weeds, right?
Well, the preen is a pre-emergent, so it's only keeping the seeds from germinating and coming through. So if you already have weeds out there, Preen will not do anything.
What about this? 309 says, can I put Preen down in rocks around the bushes now?
Again, I've never done that, so I don't know if you can use it in a rock garden, but I don't see why that would be any different than putting it in the soil.
This person has a lot of moss in their lawn. Any ideas about that?
It's shady.
Right. I guess, okay, that's an area where the sun isn't shining so much and the moss is winning. Is there a blend? Is there a kind of grass that maybe I can get there? I got to get rid of the moss, says this listener. Bob, what do you advise?
Well, I would dig it out. There's no such thing as like a moss killer. And if you use it, because it's not a weed, so you can't use like a Roundup. That won't do anything to moss. There are some moss killers out there, but I find it easier to just tear it out, especially if you're going to seed it.
Bob,
just rake it up. It's shallow rooted anyway, so just rake it out and top dress and seed.
I planted those had somebody plant some maple trees in the front of my yard last year. You said to wrap it in some of that burlap. Whatever that paper is. And I did that, and that seemed to be a good thing. But when I took it all off last weekend, there was on each tree just a little patch, maybe 4 inches by 4 inches of kind of a rust-colored square. What is that, and how do I treat that?
Sounds like a mold. Yeah. And because it was such a mild winter, it probably was mold. But once the wrap is off and the air starts circulating and the sun's out and things are growing, it should be fine.
Okay.
Just probably an aesthetic thing more than anything.
I hope so. I'll keep an eye on that. And we sure appreciate your help, Bob. Can you join us again next week and the week after and the week after and the week after?
I'll put it as a recurring appointment, John. No problem.
About the week after that. That's Bob Bertog. He is the president of Bertog Landscape Company. And if Wednesdays work for you, it works for us. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Hey, let's go out and dig around the yard.